First time, long time. Welcome, 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 welcome. How about them Phils? The Fightins, baby. The Fightins. Six straight wins. Seven games where they've scored seven plus runs. And they were down 6-0 today. Yes, Aaron Nola sucks, but you know what? The Washington Nationals swallow. And that's all we can ask for on this beautiful day of baseball, as the Philadelphia Phillies are 1.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves, who are tonight starting a series against the Colorado Rockies, who are quite possibly the best team in baseball at home. Their numbers, home and away, splits, are simply flabbergasting. So the Braves, who just got swept by the Dodgers, might have a little problem with the Colorado Rockies. And nope, I'm still not uncanceling the Phillies. It's not because I don't believe in them. It's because the second that I uncancel them, in which I did cancel them 8 games ago when they were down 4-0 to the Arizona fucking Diamondbacks at home, I canceled the season, said it was over, we got Boscoed, the whole shebang. But if I uncancel them now, we all know exactly what's going to happen. The Braves won't lose a game, and the Phillies will fail to win for the rest of our lives. That's what happens when you uncancel. So I'm sticking by my word. We are canceling the Phillies still, even on this 6-game winning streak. Get in here. We need to talk about not only that, but Ben Simmons, the Sixers, Embiid's Twitter fingers, Eagles cuts, and the Flyers making some signings. Let's do it all, people. Let's do it all. Roan right now is recording with Mr. Prime. Hopefully he joins in a little bit. We got Philly Mays here right in the back. I know we got Derek here. Hopefully the boys can chime in whenever they want, but right here, right now, let's kick it off. We got Jake. Jake, first time, long time. How we doing?
Smitty, how we doing, my man?
Oh, we're doing. We're doing.
All right, so you're riding high on that Phils win now? Six straight?
You kind of have to, especially how it happened today. The fact that they're scoring 7-plus runs a game, Ryan Spader just sent me the stat. Longest game streaks with at least 7 runs by the Phillies. This streak, August 26th, December 1st, 2021, that's 7. Before that, it was 1933.
Yeah, absurd. Absurd. But I think I hit you up the other day about Girardi. Is he out of the woods yet? Or like, is all this just our bats being hot and maybe this team does have a little fire in them, a little fight?
They obviously have fight. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming back like they did today. The bats are doing the bats are – see, this is why this team is full of cock tease, because they'll do what they've done today and the past 7 games, but, like, the 10 games before that
– and then we get the bats were basically –
yeah. Yeah, their bats were basically their dicks in their hands. I don't get it. You need Aaron Nola to step up and be somebody. You need Zach Wheeler to find his Cy Young shit again. I mean, Ranger Suarez is basically the ace of the staff right now. And Girardi, you know, he's been pushing the right buttons. They haven't been playing, like, extraordinary teams. He hasn't really been forced to make any, you know, drastic decisions. But the fact that they're scoring this much with, like, Marchand behind the plate, who hasn't hit a home run in the minors, but he has 2 in the majors in, like, 50 plate appearances. Matt Vierling coming out of nowhere. And shout-out to the Vierling boys, who I asked – I questioned Matt Vierling's existence halfway through the season, and my DMs got flooded by, like, 200 bros from St. Louis calling for my nuts, saying that Matt Vierling is going to be the next greatest thing. And you know what? If he struck out today, pinch hitting, but if he hits 4 hits a game like he did during his last start, sure, take my nuts, you St. Louis bros. Matt Vierling would be the next greatest thing. But Girardi, as long as they keep winning, he's fine.
All right, so, Smit, 2 things. First thing real quick, I know the optimism's high right now, but try to control that a little bit. because as soon as we stop playing the worst teams in baseball, like, let us play the Dodgers again, and we're going to lose 3 out of 4. Like, so that don't feel too good right now. Second thing is Ben Simmons just that much of a giant pussy? Like, I don't think we were a terrible city to him, and he's just a big baby right now. Like, we've done nothing but support him over the last 5 years. Yeah, the last couple months probably haven't been nice. But, like, what else does he want us to do? The man makes $30 million a year, and he can't shoot a basketball. Yeah. Like, what does he want us to do?
First part with the Phillies, you play the schedule that you're given, and the Phillies have the easiest schedule from here on out. We all know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go in, like, a game behind or a game up on the Braves when they go down to Atlanta for a 3-game set, and they'll probably get swept. But until then, we have somewhat of hope, even though they still are canceled, in my mind. And yes, Ben Simmons is a walking, talking, dripping labia. He is. There's no other way to explain it or defend him right now, especially with those reports coming out where he's not even reporting to camp, which basically just absolutely kiboshes his fucking trade value. I mean, we were talking about trading him possibly for Dame or Bradley Beal, and now, like,
with Matisse in there, too.
With Matisse and Maxey. But, like, now, like, you're talking to the Kings, and fucking Buddy Hield is on the table, not Fox. Like, you're talking about Malcolm Brogdon, who's a fine player, but I mean, it's not a superstar swap. So, yes, Ben Simmons, walking, talking labia, in my opinion.
Like, everything Embiid said in those tweets was 100% correct. Like, we can be a little much at times, yeah. We got to do better a little bit. But, like, Embiid was out of shape as hell. We got on him for it, and he's not fixed by any means, but he's getting better, right? Like, he still struggles with that.
I'd say he's pretty fixed after last year.
He's getting better, but like 3 years ago, he couldn't run up and down the court all game.
I agree, and there was a lot of pressure being put on him 3 years ago to be able to play 48 minutes. Now with Andre Drummond, even last year with Dwight Howard, like, he hasn't had to really do that. And yes, in the playoffs, when I forget which game it was where he missed like the finger roll layup, game 3 or game 4, he did get a little gas, but I mean,
There's no shame.
When
you're on one knee, too. Like, I get it. And Embiid, I think any of us would die for. But
yes.
Ben Simmons, like, you had that video of that dude teaching him how to shoot free throws in the crowd. Like, we did nothing but cheer him on. What else does the man want us to do? Like, he's just being a giant puss just because he wants to date Kendall Jenner and make $35 a year in Portland or wherever he'll end up. And like you've said 100 times, he's going to be freaking LeBron James and find out how to shoot as soon as he leaves this town.
Oh, 1,000%. He's going to be putting up 25 points a game the second he steps out of Philly.
It's a joke. But just what do you think we're going to get out of this? Like, is it just going to be complete shaft, or you think we'll get something? Like, Dame, I would mortgage the team for Dame. But do you think we're going to end up getting something good or just complete shaft?
I think right here, right now, it's a complete shaft situation. Thank you, Jake, for chiming in. But I also think that if Dame comes out against the Trailblazers as kind of hard as Ben is for the Sixers, I think it might force each team's hand to kind of play nice and try to get a winning situation out of both players. Even though Dame is a confirmed superstar and Ben Simmons is acting like a little bitch. The fact that he allegedly said that he wants to go to one of the California teams just really grinds my shaft. Motherfucker, you're going to go to Siberia if we send you there for any sort of value. You have no say in where you want to go. I mean, even Deshaun Watson, kiboshing the trade clause for coming into the Eagles. Yeah, for as shitty of a situation he is in, he has some say. Ben Simmons, you don't have a trade clause, pal. We will send you fucking anywhere if we get at least some sort of trade value. So hopefully Daryl Morey can work some magic and get something done. But right here, right now, I don't like the reports from yesterday because I think it damages it. And also, I don't like Embiid getting his Twitter fingers on and getting angry. Like, he should be playing with the sun, get on the sticks, play some FIFA. Calm down, Joel. We don't need you going back three, four, 5 years looking up WIP hot takes from Joe Gigolo and getting all riled up. We don't need that. We don't need it. Calm down, big boy. Calm down and get ready for the year. What's up, Patty? How we doing?
Good. Phil's in four. They're going to win the World Series. They're going to sweep whoever the fuck they play. I don't care. Best offensive baseball. Changed my mind the last week.
If they win the division, which they won't because they're still canceled in my mind, they are not getting out of the first round. I think we all realize that. They'll go up against Milwaukee in the first round and get absolutely swept out of the building by that pitching staff. But there is a little hope right now. But this offense is just not sustainable. They're doing this. It's actually incredible. They're doing it without Rhys Hoskins. They're doing it with a banged up JT. I mean, Bryce is still Bryce, but he hasn't been, you know,
MV3.
Yeah, I mean, hitting 600 the past week. I mean, they're doing it with McCutcheon here and there. They're doing it with Marshawn just getting, like, a timely home run. Nick Maton today with a swift, it was called an air, but, I mean, he hit it hard. I mean, these guys, Matt Verling with four hits. Yes, it is seven straight games of seven-run baseball, but, I mean, it's not sustainable. It's just not. Hopefully, they figure it out a little better, but it's just not sustainable.
I sometimes agree with that. Like, when they get down, like, 3-0 tomorrow, I'll agree with it. But right now, best offensive baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hate the stats. You can't hate reality right here, right now. Still canceled, though. Thank you, Patty. Everyone go check out Patty's podcast as well. I was a guest on there this week. He's a good dude. He knows his stuff. Jake. What's good, Jake? First time, long time.
What's up, Smitty?
How we doing?
I'm pretty good. I just want to touch base on the whole Sixers ordeal. But all the Simmons stuff going on, you know, if the whole Maxey thing is true and, like, they want him in a package, in my opinion, I'm doing nothing but, like, a McCollum or, like, a Beal or Dame-type deal. I'm not doing anything else. You know, I've been seeing things this morning on, like, Undisputed and all those shows. And they're like, Simmons wants to go to the three California teams, and he can't go to the Clippers because they're not going to get rid of so-and-so. He's not going to go to the Lakers because they can't get rid of so-and-so. But the only option is the Kings. And, like, in my opinion, it's like, fuck, if they're not going to do a deal with the Kings, like, fuck the Kings. Like, you don't have to do a deal that Simmons wants, where Simmons wants to go. Like, he's screwing us over. So, like, why do we have to play to his like, little game? You know what I mean? So I just think it's, like, ridiculous. And, like, I don't think Morey's dumb enough to do that. I think he's going to make the right deal when it comes. I just think it's, like, absurd that people are saying, like, he has to go to these three teams. Like, no, he doesn't. You know what I mean?
It's wildly absurd. He doesn't have a trade clause. And like I said before, we'll send him to fucking Siberia if he gets trade value back. The fact that Maxey needs to be packaged, I mean, it depends for who. Like, if you trade Ben, if his value is shot to shit and you need to trade him for Malcolm Brogdon or even McCollum, no, Maxey's not a part of that package.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if Dame or Beal or even Fox gets on the market, you know, you might have to wet the beak a little bit with a little bit of Maxey, with a little bit of a thigh bone. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Maybe not Fox, but, like, I'm fine with getting Dame.
Or like Buddy Hield, maybe. Buddy Hield, maybe, too, would be nice.
I mean, but not. I mean, if we end up
getting no, not Buddy for Hield, Maxey. I'm just saying, like, if it's just Simmons, I'm saying, like, Simmons and, like, maybe a few package players.
If we trade
not
Ben Simmons
up.
For,
not straight
for
up. Not straight
Hield
up.
And, like, Hagee, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my God. It's not going to happen. What will be interesting is if this actually goes into training camp and Ben Simmons holds out and his value really goes to dick. I don't know what Daryl Morey is going to do at that point, whether he's going to suck it up and just try to get whoever, or maybe they just hold on to him out of spite.
I don't know about that.
I don't think they would, but like, I don't
know. It's a crazy situation right now, honestly.
It sucks, but the good thing is Daryl Morey is at least competent. This isn't like, I know Howie won the Super Bowl, but this isn't, okay, this isn't Matt Klentak, like, trying to make the deal here and just
really gonna
FUBAR it. Yeah. You gotta trust Daryl Morey, and it just sucks that Simmons has put this team, this franchise, this city in this situation. Like, he didn't need to. He didn't need to come out after the season and just essentially say, oh, I'm not coming back. Like, fuck you, pal. Like, you're under a max contract. People are cheering you on left and right. Like, get off fucking social media. Get in the gym and work on a jump shot with Herb McGee. Like, shut up.
Like, dude, we paid you a bag and to not shoot the basketball. And now that, like, we're asking you to shoot, you're, like, complaining about it. It's, like, absurd.
Yeah. And like, the sad part is, for as much as we want to put it on Ben Simmons, and appreciate it, Jake, 100%. I'd say it's 70% Simmons and Simmons's like crew, and 30% the Sixers. Like, they mismanaged him from the jump. Like, the fact that he regressed every single season on the offensive side with no oversight or nobody in a forceful position to be like, hey man, get your fucking shit in gear. That's embarrassing from a Sixers point of view. And I like Brett Brown as a person, but it was obvious they coddled him and Embiid from the jump. And Embiid at least had enough self-discipline and motivation to get better in all aspects of his game. And Ben Simmons just out in la-la land, jerking himself off. Alex. First time, long time, Alex. How we doing?
Good. I'm happy to be back. Last time I was on, I like got picked to talk and then didn't talk, and then the Phillies hit a few home runs, and you and Rome were screaming at me. So it was exciting.
Yeah, no, it was your fault. That was your fault, Alex.
Hey, listen, they're making their way back up. So we'll leave that in the past. But the Rich Paul situation, I kind of think that was just like Dumas never sources his tweets. Like, he just says like per source. And then he's the one that dropped the Maxi hole. Oh, we need Maxi out if Ben's going because Rich Paul said it. But, like, then Rich Paul, then the next day he comes out and says, oh, he doesn't want Maxi out with the trade. He just doesn't want Maxi to grow roots. Like, I'm doing parentheses in my hand.
Yeah.
Grow roots in Philly, like, because of whatever. And then Rich Paul was also the same one that, like, the big thing, reason why Nerlens dropped Rich Paul was because Rich Paul didn't tell him anything about Philly. So I think it's, like, I think Maxi kind of got dragged into this because of Rich Paul, and it wasn't even like a oh my god, Maxie's leaving with Ben because I don't want my people in there. I think it was kind of just like a fucking Dumas reporting again without sources and just causing even more panic, like half of the media out there.
No, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that, and I think it's complete horse shit using you can't grow roots in the city.
It's ridiculous.
You're not gonna stay here. I mean, what the fuck?
Because of pressure. It's because of pressure, because Ben grew roots here. Now Ben's feeling pressure because he's already so deep in with the fan base, so deep in with the franchise. Like, grow roots, like, you're a good player supposed to fucking grow roots in the place that you want to succeed in, and now it's, like, a bad term because you got too emotionally connected with the city that, like, you can't leave, or you can't do other things. It's just, it's a ridiculous, like, take to fucking say that.
It's something. It's something for sure. But unless Maxi's packaged for a Dame or a Beal, he's going to be here to grow his roots. So,
yeah. Dude, and what about that Imhotep? What about that Imhotep scrimmage a few nights ago with Adam Sandler and fucking, like, and Jordan Tobias Clarkson? Like, what was that?
He's filming a movie in Philly. What's it called? It's like Ballers. It's something that has to do
I did hear about that.
Yeah, with a basketball title, and apparently a bunch of guys are in it. And I think either Greeny or Reeves wrote a blog saying it was like the greatest pickup game ever. Which, you know, it's a hot pickup game, but I don't think anyone could beat the Space Jam off the court games that they were playing. But, you know, good for Adam Sandler and Tobias and people there.
I'd ball with them. All right, thank you, Smitty.
Hot take. Alex would ball with Adam Sandler if he had the chance. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, who wouldn't want a ball with Adam Sandler in some high tops and polos? Seems like a pretty good afternoon. ML, what's good, my friend?
Let's take a positive note here. I mean, besides Sixers, I mean, Flyers just locked up Farabee to a monster contract. It's going to be one of the best contracts in the NHL in a couple of years, like guaranteed. Well, knock on wood. And then how about our fightings? You know, like, I mean, you know, coming back down 6-0, I think this team's really turned it around. We got two series against Miami, then Rockies, Cubs. We can smack the Mets around. We got Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I mean, Atlanta better be fucking scared, man.
Yeah. Well, the first Flyers note, I love the sign-in as well. It's perfectly Chuck Fletcher. I mean, he led the team in goals last year, his rookie year. Might as well take, you know, low risk or high reward deal before he might become a superstar. Fuck it, not our money. But the Phillies schedule, hold on, I had it up here. They got the Marlins, who they historically can't beat for whatever reason. They got them the next 3 nights. So, I mean, you have to take 2 out of 3 in the Marlins. You have to. And then they're at the Brewers for 3. But after that, Rockies at home for 4. And the Rockies, for how good they are at home, they are the worst team in baseball on the road. Like, their splits are incredible. And then the Cubs, who have essentially given up on the season, even though they have a couple players still cooking. And then at New York, at home against the New York with the Mets, then at home against the Orioles, home against the Pirates, and then we round up the month at Atlanta. So if they can get to that Atlanta series, like, theoretically, up 2 or 3 games, then we realistically have a shot. But if we're down 2 or 3 games by that point, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, the Barstool Philly account, I don't know who's in charge of that, but when they posted a clip of just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yep.
I was like, dude, 100% that's like the feeling. I mean, a couple weeks ago, or even a week ago, I was like out on the Phillies. I was like, fuck this. And now they're back, you know?
I wouldn't say back. They're still canceled in my mind. Still canceled. They will not be uncanceled unless they make the playoffs. But no, it is good to see, and especially games like tonight where they're down 6-0. And even if they lose today, they still win the series in Washington, still considered a win. But they fought back. They fought back. I mean, what more can you ask for from a team other than having their supposed ace finally fucking coming out and firing a ball down the dicks of the worst team in the league? But other than that, you gotta like it. Gotta like it. Oh, sorry, cut you off there, ML. Appreciate the call. Keep it cooking, baby. Keep it cooking. Positive show. Any Eagles talk out there? Discuss the cuts. Travis Fulgham out. JJ Arcega-Whiteside in. Do you like that? No, you shouldn't. But David, first time, long time.
Smitty, how are we, buddy?
We are here.
We are good.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Listen, I've had the pleasure of buying you a couple of drinks down at the Link in Xfinity. I did have something about Simmons, but I was just curious. Are you and Roan or anybody from the Philly crew going to be back at the Link this season, or at least for the home opener?
Home opener against 49ers, maybe. There are a couple things in the cooking right now in the books, specifically October 3rd. I believe that is Chiefs,
yeah.
At home. Nothing like set in stone officially yet. There is supposedly something Barstool related coming to Center City on a permanent basis in November. As of now, like, everything's still kind of up in the air, nothing official, but we're going to be down doing stuff a fair amount. I'm a half hour outside the cities. My life's over. I'm in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Roan's in Brooklyn. He can easily come down anytime. We got a couple Philly guys like Derek who are in the city already, so we'll be around. We'll be cooking.
No, that's great, man. I just actually had my girlfriend move me out to Mount Laurel, so I am out of the city as well. Yeah. but I will be at every game, so I have my tickets forever. But the and then the Bucks game, I know they play them on a Thursday, but it'd be fun to get Shea down here.
it would be, but
we're doing okay.
Yeah. Do I really want to sit in the stands with Stephen Che
as the
Eagles lose 40-6 against the Bucks at home? doesn't sound like the most enjoyable thing in the world.
Nah,
but
true.
We'll see what happens.
So just real quick on Simmons. So my friends and I, we went back and forth on this. I mean, all day. Nobody got anything done yesterday. And it was some spirited conversation. The thing is about nowadays, you know, I mean, this is as 2021 as it gets. You know, imagine this stuff, you know, happened in the 90s, even early 2000s. Like, just the fact that he can, you know, again, like you've said so many times, Smitty, just like 4 years left, 180 million, whatever it is, you know, demanding this and that, you know, because Doc, you know, threw him under the bus and Joe threw him under the bus. Doc, like, got his back the entire series. You guys blogged about it the whole time. I mean, this guy, when he was asked, will Simmons be off the court? He literally laughed at the reporter, reprimanded him, told him, you know, like, I'm not going to take Ben Simmons off the court. You know what I mean? Like, and now, you know, he has one comment after game seven, emotional loss, big favorite, total collapse. Like, you know, just explain, like, your thoughts on just the time and, like, how he is in 2021, the whole nine.
Well, I mean, with Glenn Rivers, yes, Glenn, he needs to earn Doc back.
True.
I don't begrudge him for in season sticking up for his guy, especially when, like, what else are you going to do? Like, you know, seemingly how fragile Ben Simmons' mind is. You know he's probably a mental diarrhea case. Were you going to throw him under the bus in a post-game press conference in the playoffs? Yep. And you know, just risk that. So, I mean, I can't begrudge Glenn for handling Ben in season the way he did. But going forward, I mean, Glenn is just as much on the hot seat and was to blame for the playoff collapse than Ben was, in my opinion. I mean, how many years can he lose playoff series where he is either ahead or favored going into the series and just have a monumental collapse?
I mean, there's only, no doubt.
Yeah, you can only ride one championship from the Celtics in 2008 with three of the best players of all time, like, for so long.
I was just more saying his comments, like, his comments about Ben, and then, like, you know, because that's what a lot of these talking heads are talking about. Okay, you know, Doc Rivers or Glenn, you know, came at him, Joe, you know, threw him under the bus. You know, and it's like, come on, it's like, these guys are athletes, played so much money. Like, this guy, you know, like the guy in the stands trying to get Ben to shoot a free throw. Like, we've had this guy's back, and for him to just say, you know, he's not going to show up, I don't know. It just makes me, like, you know, I'm 35, like you. You know, it just makes me feel like, you know, long for the good days, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, athletes are certainly treated differently these days, and they have a lot of
yes men growing up. You know,
yeah.
Our apologies. The Twitter Spaces went foobar. Coincidentally, right when we started talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, why did it go foobar? Well, I think the first caller who called in to talk about the Birds said that they have a realistic chance to win 10 games. So that instantly put a rip in the space-time continuum and messed up the Twitter Spaces. So now we're here with myself, producer Derek, producer John Kelly, and we'll talk a little Birds for some. You know, a little shop. This is the first time we are discussing since the Eagles rosters became finalized. Shout out J.J. Arcega-Whiteside for still having a job. And also Mr. Minshew, Mustache Mania, all in on Philadelphia, which, you know, I think the value was there. They ended up sending Matt Pryor over to Indy for a sixth-round pick, and they just sent that sixth-round pick to get Gardner Minshew, who is a proven commodity in the NFL, somewhat. He has had his failures and his faults, but at times he has looked half decent. So shout out to Howie for bringing in some sort of competent quarterback to the factory. But no shout out to Howie for the man who said last year that he would have thought a little bit more about bringing Jalen Hurts in to mess with Carson Wentz's psyche. And then just do the same damn thing to Jalen Hurts by bringing in Gardner Minshew, because we all know, gentlemen and ladies, and however you like to be identified out there, the first struggle Jalen Hurts has, the first incomplete pass that looks rough, the first time he fumbles a ball, there are going to be people in this town calling for the Mustache Mania. And it's a shame. It's a shame because I like Gardner Minshew. I like him. But if this is Jalen Hurts' season, let Jalen Hurts cook. And he is going to struggle. He is. We all know he will. Might not be for games at a time, but it will be for possessions. It will be for a game. There are going to be times when people are going to question his ability. He should not have the pressure of Philly sports media and radio hacks putting out polls at 6 a.m. every morning asking if Gardner Minshew deserves to be the franchise quarterback. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on that?
So when I saw the depth chart, he's third. Like, Flacco is still second. Well, I guess that's
that,
like,
doesn't matter.
But I mean, what week do you think, guess what, Tampa Bay, when Hurts goes like 11 for 26 with three picks, is when like they'll start bringing the torches and pitchforks. I don't know. Like, he's only set up to fail. Like, that's like, there's no possible good scenario out of any of this.
No, none. And he better come out hot. If they come into Atlanta and look flat, that's a disaster of all epic proportions. If they lose in Atlanta, who stinks, by the way, the Falcons stink, but they're 3-point favorites right now. If they lose in Atlanta, there's no way this team is winning over 6.5 games, which is their over under. If they lose that game, do you have faith in them winning in Carolina, which is seemingly another winnable game? Like, there aren't many victories on the schedule that are set, and we can go through it 1-17. I mean, you got Eagles, Falcons, and if they come out and win or play, I mean, they guess they have to win. And then the week two against the 49ers, and they play the 49ers at home, at least tough. Okay, that's like the best case scenario we have. But if they lose the Falcons and get their doors dicked off at home against the 49ers, we're going to be in for a long season. But yeah, Falcons, 49ers at home, which is, okay, let's say best case scenario, 1-1. Then you got at Dallas, 1-2. At home against the Chiefs, 1-3. And then you got Eagles Panthers on October 10th. Give them that game, 2-4. At home against the Bucks, 2-5. At the Raiders, 2-6. At Detroit, it better be 3-7. If they lose in Detroit, just cancel the rest of the season, because then you got the Chargers at home, which is 3-8. At Denver, okay, we'll give them a game at Denver, 4-8. At home against the Saints, 4-9. And then at the Giants, 4-10. Eagles, Jets, 5-10. So you're 5-10 going to the last four games of the season. Wait, that math does not add up at all.
No, the last two games. So they have, 17. So they have, they're 5-10, and then at Washington, and then home against Dallas.
No, I don't know how that math adds up. We went through 15 games.
Yeah.
And they have four games left. They play Washington, Giants, Washington, Cowboys. They have four division games left. How the fuck did that work?
I have no idea.
But either John way, Kelly, they, John they're Kelly, not getting more than skip six. Over 10 games? I want to know logistically how I just switched timelines there in the universe. And we went to 5-10 with four games left. Regardless, the last four games are against division opponents, and all those could be up in the air, I suppose. But I don't see how this team wins over 6.5 games, especially if they come out flat against Atlanta and end up losing.
How quickly do you think defenses figure out Hurts? Like, it was very easy to figure him out in the four games last year. I mean, Dallas figured him out after one quarter. I mean, it took the Saints a half, but they realized, oh, we got to actually play now. Like, it was a game in Arizona, but I mean, it didn't seem that hard to get him figured out. Like, defenses really like adjusted like quickly. Like, obviously now with the new scheme, new playbook, whatever. But I mean, is Hurts going to be like a 2017 Wentz where he's just like doing all these magical plays? Like, I don't think so. It seems pretty straightforward.
I think they have to limit his exposure. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why everybody's looking at the run game. We can't have him throw the ball 30 to 50 times a game. We can't, you know, lose the lead early. We have to kick some field goals if we're in. We're going to have to be a little bit more conservative, and hopefully he gets some, you know, he's got actually what people are talking about, and now it's sort of dawning on everyone. He's got some weapons with Ertz and Goddard now. If they're both going to play week one, he's got some safety valves. He's got Miles Sanders. He's got hopefully some chemistry with Devonta Smith. So that's enough, I think, to at least when he throws the ball and when he runs. You know, hopefully Miles Sanders takes off and they don't have to rely on Hurts for every single point. That's really the only way. And good defense. But that's where the six wins come in. This defense, I don't know if this defense is good enough to really win them, keep them in games and win them games.
Yeah, you're spot on with the point that if Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball 30 plus times a game, they don't have a shot. They're cutting their nuts off before they even drop. Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw 20 times a game, be able to use his leg. They're going to have to get him out on the edge and just have him make athletic plays. If he's dropping straight back and trying to beat Tom Brady back there, it's just not happening, at least not early. And the defense, I mean, you're right again. It's going to be questionable from the jump. And if they can keep him in games and have Hurts use his athleticism to try to win, great. But if you're putting the entire game on Hurts to win it just by playing like standard quarterback, not good. And I gotta be honest with you. Like for as much enthusiasm has been built throughout training camp, like I'm very, very nervous going into the season. I not only think that 6.5 is hitting the under, I'm thinking like 4-13 right now.
Yeah, I just don't know how good the division's going to be. That could help them a little bit. Giants fans are really low on where they are right now. And maybe we are a little too bullish on Ryan Fitzpatrick leading Washington to the division crown. I mean, that's sort of my dark horse pick. A lot of people have said that. But and the Cowboys kind of feel like the Cowboys, where everyone's hyping them up to be this Super Bowl team. They're on Hard Knocks this year. Everybody's like, all Dak's back. They could be a 7-9 win team also. I don't know. So that could help them stay in the hunt, just like we've seen so many times in the NFC East, where it just becomes an entire league, you know, NFC East of terrible play, and that keeps them, you know, afloat longer than they should be.
Well, I mean, Fitzpatrick or not, the Washington football team's defense is still elite,
yes.
Like top three defenses in the league. So, I mean, you could put Fitzpatrick back there. You could put what's his name? Taylor Heineke, whatever you can, which he will play. He will get a chance eventually. Put him back out there, and that's fine. Giants, I mean, yes, they're going to be down, but are they going to be worse than the Eagles? Like, I find that hard to believe going in. And Dallas, you just look at their weapons on offense. Like, if Dak is healthy, I mean, they're by far the best offensive team. Possibly in the NFC when it's all said and done. I mean, defensively, if they can just play average and McCarthy doesn't fuck it up, like they're going to be good, but it all depends on Dak's health. But
they remind me of the Mets a little bit, how they're going to have like 100 injuries on defense, though, and they're going to like underperform. I mean, it's very typical Cowboys to get hyped up now and then come out real flat. I don't know who they play week 1. I don't know what their schedule's like. So
they have the first game, right? They get. Aren't they?
Yeah, they're at Tampa.
Yeah, exactly an easy start. So
no, but say they come out and win that game, season's over. Seriously, we're cooked. If they come out and beat Tampa Bay in Tampa, and the line is unfavorable right now. They're 7.5-point dogs. We're cooked.
So realistically, like you were going back to the schedule, like at what point do you think you'll be ready to like throw in the towel and be like, you know what, let's go for draft picks. Let's tank. Like the division's out of reach. Like, is it ever going to be,
we will know the first quarter of game 1. If they go down 14-0 and Matt Ryan's just slinging his balls off Penn Charter style to freaking Kyle Pitts. And this team gets down and dirty and Hurts looks lost. Sirianni looks even more lost. Game 1, first half. Like, I'll be ready to throw it in.
Ready to cancel, like, the Phillies? Like, just, like...
Yeah. Seriously, because if this Atlanta game is going to tell it all. Like, if they cannot come out and beat an Atlanta team that is similar to them in talent and where they are as a franchise. Like, what's the point? What's the point? Like, people are calling in yesterday saying that, like, oh, 9-10 wins. Like, that could be possible. Look at these lines. Like, if everyone stays healthy, if Hurts is good. I don't want to be in a purgatory fantasy land where 9-10 wins is the maximum amount of joy I get going into the season. Like, 9-8, 10-7, fuck that. I want 13-4 being a realistic possibility. 14-3. I want to have the feeling of home field advantage is possible now for my football team and eventually a Super Bowl contender again. I don't want to be happy to be 10-7 as the most optimistic we can be about a football team. I just don't want that. I'd rather just tank and get back to where we need to be.
This, and you would agree that, like, long term, like an 8-9, 9-8 season does not help the team at all moving forward. No. It just gives that false hope or reality that things could get better.
The only way that helps this ball club is if they go 9-8, 10-7, and Jalen Hurts is all pro quarterback. That's the only way. Which, if that happens and he's an all pro and he's our franchise, that settles everything.
Yeah,
that's fine.
The quickest path to that of becoming a reality to me is if Devonta Smith is high impact, they have chemistry, and all of a sudden we're very surprisingly putting up points, just those two. I mean, if those two become a fantasy commodity, for instance, because of their connection, you know, I mean, the Falcons defense is definitely vulnerable. They always have been. They're the same probably Falcons defense. Maybe they're a little bit better this year, but, you know, I think Smitty's right. We're going to see right away if this offense can hang. Because if you look at the schedule, it's actually pretty interesting. Matt Ryan is a veteran quarterback. He's going to be tough to beat. Because, you know, right then we get into, like, who's the quarterback of the Niners? Is it Trey Lance?
It's either going to be Trey or
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo, probably, yes. Garoppolo.
So, if anything, you'd think, well, you know, we might actually struggle against a veteran like Matt Ryan, and then maybe we'll look better against the Niners because they're throwing, you know, a couple quarterbacks who are really, you know, could be on the same par as Jalen Hurts in terms of game, how they look in that game. So,
I mean, the 49ers are pretty well established no matter who's at quarterback there.
Yeah.
I think
Kyle Shanahan, for sure.
Yeah. And with Mostert and Trey Sermon running the ball, I mean, they're going to be just fine. It's all going to come down to this Falcons game. The entire season's coming down to week one, the first quarter of week one. Glorious. Glorious.
Like, is this truly like Miles Sanders do or die year, like sink or swim? Like, is this like he's giving the keys? Like, this is your, you know, this is your run game. Like, you know, Doug didn't really, you know, utilize him in the run game as much as, you know, I guess other teams would, but Sirianni, a really run first guy. Like, is this the year we find out if Miles Sanders is like legit, if he's like worth, you know, worth the pick? Like,
yeah, absolutely. If Miles Sanders doesn't contribute like a number one back this year, when he's given all the opportunity, what's the point of having him? What's the point? Like, go out and find somebody who is a number one back, or just make a committee. But Miles Sanders has all the opportunity in the world to establish himself as a top 10 back in the league. And I think he has the talent, but if he doesn't do it, of course, get him out. Do something. Like, he, I guess as a running back, he's fine to just like hang with the rebuilding team. But as far as what the shit, my phone just went to dick. As far as having him as a number one guy, like, this is his year. You're right.
Yeah, I'm surprised people are actually not like low on him, but as skeptical as they seem. I'm not really too worried about him bouncing back. I mean, he still had – I was reading, who was the guy from Yahoo, Barry, the fantasy guy, fantasy expert. Actually, I'm thinking of the ESPN guy. His last name's Barry. But anyway, he was talking about how I think Miles Sanders is one of only a handful of running backs, maybe the only running back who had three runs of 70-plus yards last year. And if you take away those, the numbers aren't as good. But I do think that highlights exactly what Miles Sanders can bring you. He can bring you that home run ability. If we're talking about the Niners again, he reminds me of Mostert at times. Mostert's really fast, but Sanders has speed. I'm not too worried about him receiving. I think he did it well at Penn State. He did it well his rookie year. I think he's got the talent to be your, you know, screen pass. He could take one to the house. I think that's he's going to be a big play guy this year. So even if he's not extremely consistent with running for 100 yards every game, I think you'll see that receiving rushing combo, and that'll fit nicely in Sirianni's offense.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying he's having the case of the drops this preseason. That's all like well and good. I think he'll figure that one out, but he needs to really step it up, and especially with this receiving core not being proven. Devontae Smith, like, yeah, if he's healthy, he needs to have a year where he has close to 1,000 yards. If Jalen Reagor wants to prove anything, he needs to do it outside of making one-handed catches one-on-ones. He needs to do it in the actual game. For the love of fuck, I don't understand why J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has a roster spot over Travis Fulgham, who is on the practice squad right now, which I'm shocked that no other team has taken a flyer on him, because he has proven it at the NFL level, albeit over a short amount of period of time. But Fulgham can ball out. Like, why isn't he on this team over J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who is just a waste of space, of life, of oxygen on that field? Like, get J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as far away from Devontae Smith as possible. Like, I don't want him breathing Devontae's air. Like, just keep him away. Just not even close. Just fucking throw him in the locker room.
Realistically, like, do you think J.J. will, like, see the field? Like, how does he, you know, like, prove himself on the field? Like, where do you see him fitting in? Like, I don't see a spot really for him.
No idea.
Special teams? Like, is he, like, a special teams guy? Is he just, like, tackling guys on punt coverage? Like,
no idea. I don't know. Like, why would you keep a second-round pick who's, like, not exactly that fast, who's just used as a red zone threat, like, as a punt return guy or punt team or kickoff team.
He's not even returning punts. That's Reagor and Devontae like have been the two guys that have been lining up. So I don't even know what he's going to do. Is he going to be like kickoff and just punt coverage? Like, I don't.
No idea. Makes zero sense. Zero sense. But
yeah, it seems like he's going to sit on the bench just right here. Yeah. And that's they even went light on receivers. I think they have three on the practice squad and then they go five on the roster, maybe four. So they went pretty light. A lot of people were surprised they didn't keep Hightower because of the special teams ability. Yep. So, I guess it's because he's tall. The only thing I can think of is, you know, they were like, he's pretty tall.
He recovered that one fumble that one time in the end zone. That was pretty cool, right?
He did have a better preseason, too. Let's give him that. I mean, he certainly, you know, the bar was really low. He looked better than last year. So they were like, okay, he's tall. He looked a little better than last year. I don't know.
And then you got Greg Ward, who I like, but he is a number three or four wide receiver for a Super Bowl winning team, not a number four wide receiver for what we have. So we'll see what happens. That was Talking Birds. Go Phils. Go Birds. Fuck Ben Simmons. We'll hang up and listen.